This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Talking swamp sweating. That's for the bathtub full of sweat.
Hello there, sports fans. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Been a little hiatus here. I'm the cowboy, your host, Roger Morissette. The Cowboys been a bit of a world traveler here over the last couple of weeks. Spent a little time in the lovely country of Aruba, attending the wedding of loyal Sports Lounge listener. Sorry, can't talk tonight, obviously. That's a problem when you host a podcast. But Bobby Miller, Sarah, now Sarah Miller, got married in Aruba. Great time, good wedding, but couldn't do the lounge from Aruba. I know everybody missed us, and when you miss a couple of weeks in the world of sports, it might as well be a couple of years because things sure can change. But real excited to be back. It's like once I got into the lounge, it's like I had never left. My spot on the couch, nice and warm, cigar freshly lit. I brought a couple of Cubans back from the island. And I'm joined by the core, we call it the core four here, Fantastic Four, however you want to coin it. Andy Flanagan, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. It's been a long time. I'm glad to be back, though.
It is. Andy came to the lounge anyway while I was away.
Well, I didn't actually leave.
he just sleeps here. Keith Schmidt. Combustible Keith Schmidt. I know for a fact Keith's gonna be spitting some fire tonight. How you doing, Keith?
Oh, I can't wait. We got football on TV. I got a fistful of 50s. I've been saving for the last couple weeks. I'm ready to rock.
50s. This is a high roller in the lounge.
That's right.
That's right.
You really get a lot of play in the lounge with 50s. And
I was once told I couldn't get any action with a fistful, so we're gonna find out.
I don't believe that for a second, Keith.
Me neither.
Keith's Playgirl centerfold comes out this week, so any female listeners, keep an eye out for that.
Hello.
All those female listeners who still look at physical copies of porn.
Hey, we're in the Fall River area here.
Yeah, good point. All right, fair enough.
And finally, joined by my dad, straw that stirs the drink here in the lounge, Pittsburgh hater, Giants hater, Mr. Cowboy Senior. How's it going, Cowboy Senior?
Going really well, going really well. I'm excited to be back in the lounge. I missed it for a couple of weeks, and it's great to be here and be with all of you guys. It's really nice having Andy back in after a few weeks. We missed him. And we're ready to rock and roll here in the crazy schizophrenic world of the NFL.
Absolutely. And so for those of our listeners who are active on Twitter, Cowboy Senior has become a tweeting machine. So follow him at Bogle Hill, BogleHill. At Bogle Hill is his Twitter handle. And if you think the opinions you hear on the lounge are a little out there, you got to get to see him when he's fired up on Twitter. He's a hashtagger. Never thought my dad would be a hashtagger, but he has coined hashtag Steelers suck and uses it with impunity.
I love it.
But yeah, man, it's been a crazy couple of weeks in the NFL, just in sports in general, and looking forward to getting into it with you guys here. So I thought we would lead, you know, I kind of teased this a little bit, but last time we were on the lounge, Pittsburgh Cowboy Senior in his glory, high on the mountaintop, the Swami, Pittsburgh coming off just a brutal thrashing at the hands of the Cleveland Browns that the Cowboy senior predicted. Games coming up against Houston and Indy. Definite losses for the Steelers. And Baltimore, got to be a loss for the Steelers. And you know what? Then I guess that's why they play the games. Because as of right now, Pittsburgh's the hottest team in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger's breaking records left and right. Antonio Brown looks like Jerry Rice. James Harrison turned back the clock about 10 years, which isn't suspicious at all.
Totally above board.
And, yeah, I mean, they're just they're a powerhouse right now. Cowboy Jr., Cowboy myself, I believed in this team from the beginning. I was on that Steelers Island a few times and felt that talent would win out. And it's what it looks like right now. But senior, what do you have to say about the Steelers? What's your analysis? Are you still drinking the haterade, as they say? Do you believe in this team? Do you think it's a flash in the pan? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I would have to be a complete fool to not say that I was impressed with what they did the last 2 weeks, obviously. You know, and it's what I said about the schizophrenic NFL, they are the poster child for the schizophrenic NFL and what it's become, from getting blown away by Cleveland and having all they could handle against Jacksonville, having absolutely no offense against Jacksonville, losing to Tampa Bay, you know, just getting blown out by the Ravens, and then all of a sudden they have these 2 weeks. Now, going in before 2 weeks ago, before the Indy and Baltimore game, these last 2 weeks, and this shows you how you can't figure the NFL out, Pittsburgh's red zone offense was ranked dead last statistically in the NFL. Worse than Oakland, worse than Jacksonville. In the last 2 weeks, Ben Roethlisberger throws 12 touchdown passes. 6 innings. How do you figure that out? I don't know. Okay, I'll give you some, as close as I can come to Pittsburgh laws here. I'll tell you the things that have really impressed me with the team. Number one, the thing that I thought would be their biggest Achilles heel, besides the fact that the locker room is just a nightmare of bad character people, but beyond that, I thought that their real, real weakness was that offensive line. It was terrible. It kind of reminded me of a New England offensive line at the beginning of the year, and you thought there's no way this line could come together. Well, the model citizen, Maurice Pouncey, came back, and I guess by adding him, all of a sudden the whole line is just gelled in it. Ben standing by, I watched the game last week against Baltimore, and I kind of felt bad for Flacco. He was taking a beating, and Ben standing there having tea and crumpets back there. If they give him time to throw the ball, number one, he has a Cadillac running back, Le'Veon Bell, who's pretty close to being an elite back. And this wide receiving core, I have no idea who could be this good. Antonio Brown, okay, we all knew he was good. Right now, you can make a case that there isn't a better receiver in the NFL than Antonio Brown. What he does after the catch, as explosive as he is, you can't cover him. And these two kids, they're just absolute speed burners, and they look terrific. Marcus Wheaton and Martavis Bryant, they just look outstanding, and you're going to lean all the coverage on Brown, and these guys are burning this. So if that offensive line is giving Ben time and these guys keep playing like this, they seem almost unstoppable on offense. And defensively, I think lately, in these two games they have going for them, that has become to me the most important thing in the NFL. I think the last few years before this year, we all thought that the most valuable thing you could have on defense, and we said it even going into this year, is that shutdown corner and two great corners because it's a passing league. Well, the rules being changing even this year, and the game being officiated even differently, even the best corners in the world, when you can't even lay a finger on a guy, can't really stay with him if a quarterback has a lot of time. So I think what's become even more valuable in those corners is having a really good pass rush. And the Steelers' pass rush has been outstanding, and it's kind of led by, of all people, Harrison. But it's not just him. His pass rush looks ferocious. So if these two games are the real Steelers, look out. But, you know, again, it's schizophrenic and you don't know what to expect. And no, I'm not sold on them totally yet because it is only two games. But yeah, I have to say that I was completely impressed with what they've done. Now you look at their next two games and they have at the Jets and then at Tennessee and then they go into a bye week. So they could really be sitting pretty if they keep playing ball. But as crazy as the NFL is, watch them, you know, lose those games. You just kind of don't know what to expect. But right now, and it kills me to say it, but everything I said, how can you not be completely impressed with what they've done the last 2 weeks and against good opposition? I mean, what they did against Indianapolis after Indianapolis' defense had shut out Cincinnati. They shut them out. They come out and score 51 points and throw six touchdown passes against the same defense. So, again, it's the craziness of the NFL where I don't think anybody can predict from week to week what's going on, but what the Steelers have done the last 2 weeks has even impressed Cowboys senior. I hope they become more schizophrenic and go downhill from here, but I don't know. They do look really good. I just think if things start to go bad, they could slide because of their lack of character, but then again, things were going bad and they picked it up. So we'll see, but Cowboy Senior is even a little cool on his predictions right now. I'm not a fool. I'm not going to sit here and say I was right about the Steelers when they played like they have the last 2 weeks. I got to give them all the credit in the world for these two games.
I tell you, the only thing I like more than Cowboy Senior eating a little bit of crow is Cowboy Senior with multiple third person references. there's Dion. This Cowboy Senior. So they do go to the Jets this week. The Jets are in shambles, real ugly. Keith, how do you think this one plays out? I mean, all signs point to a big Steelers victory, and I'd like to say the Steelers are doing it with, you know, integrity, hard work. You watch that Baltimore game. Baltimore's the thugs out there. The Steelers were walking the straight and narrow, as they always do. Keith.
I think you're going to see the upset special of the week this week. The Jets take them down 27-24. The Steelers will revert back to being the real Steelers. I think these last 2 weeks, smoke and mirrors. Great game plans. The Baltimore game, it's a division rivalry. Kind of like what you're watching on TV right now. Cleveland's beating Cincinnati. Anything can happen in a division game. These teams know each other well. There was a little payback. You know, Baltimore beat Pittsburgh early in the year, 26-6. You know, they got a little payback. The Indy game, for whatever reason, like you said, Senior, they couldn't get to Ben. There was no pass rush whatsoever. He sat back there. He could have made a sandwich and then found these receivers. You know, this week they're playing the Jets. The Jets have a ferocious line. They're going to put pressure on Ben. And I don't see them taking advantage of the Jets like they did the Colts and the Ravens. I don't see it happen. I'm calling it upset special.
Bold prediction, Keith, and I like it when Keith makes bold predictions because then I can shit on him.
Go nuts, baby.
So,
hey, did I just hear this right? Did Keith just predict the Jets? I'm sorry, I had stepped out a second. I ran to the bathroom after I heard, I had to puke after I heard Cowboy Junior, describe the Steelers as integrity and honor or something like that. That was just way too much for my stomach to take. But I like what Keith's saying. I hope he's right.
Wow.
I'm right.
Andy, I hope you're with me, Andy. So here's my take on the game. The only way the Jets win this game is if the Steelers team plane goes down. That's it. That's it. The Jets have the worst secondary in the NFL. Roethlisberger's thrown 12 touchdown passes in 2 weeks. Everybody throws on the Jets. Antonio Brown might have 200 yards receiving in this game.
So will Percy Harvin.
No way.
Listen, Troy Polamalu, out.
He can't cover anyone
was it
anyway.
Ryan Shazier, out. Watch. Listen, that trade for Percy Harvin, I don't know if you caught any of the Jets game last week, but
I watched
13 targets.
It's my job.
13 targets, 11 catches, 129 yards for Percy. It's only a matter of time before he has that 200 yards and three touchdown game, and it's coming this week. That Pittsburgh defense, they're a bunch of frauds.
There's a way better chance that Percy Harvin knocks Michael Vick cold on the sidelines before he gets 200 yards and three touchdowns. Andy, come on, man. What do you think?
Do I think the Jets are going to win? No. I mean, I guess, yeah. No, I just can't see it. I like you said, if the plane goes down, maybe if somebody breaks Roethlisberger's leg on the first play, they might have a chance. But I think the Jets are kind of in free fall. I mean, you can't really tank in the NFL. It doesn't really work that way. But if you could tank, I think they are tanking. You know what I mean? I just can't see it.
I don't think they have a snowball's chance in hell.
They're the prototypical back against the wall, wounded animal. I'm telling you, the Jets are dangerous. Watch.
They're wounded like like a squirrel that just got ran over and is like clinging to life.
this is like a you know what? I said 27-24. Maybe I should say 34-31. Because you're right. They are going to throw on the Jets. I don't think their defense.
Jets aren't going to score 34 points.
Listen to me.
Oh,
listen, Percy Harvin will probably return a kick.
There's one of his touchdowns.
Listen, he's going to total 200 yards in this game.
He's going to kick a 50-yard field goal, too?
No, he's not going to kick no field goals, but he's going to score at least twice this week. Write it down.
I like it.
Write it down. Anybody out there that plays fantasy football, take Percy Harvin this week.
I mean, that takes a lot of balls, that call. So I like your feistiness, Keith. We haven't done the lounge, obviously, in a few weeks, and he's just had, this is his release, man.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
just had this pent up. He's been dying to yell at the Cowboy. That's right. And I am referring to myself in the third person.
Not so much at you, but I would like to yell at the real Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Bunch of choke artists and the bitches.
So that's a great
segue. Last time we were on here, we were touting them as maybe the best team in the NFL. I think they're going to lose five in a row. They're going to lose to Jacksonville in London this week. Wow, we got the Jets and the Jaguars winning this week. How you like that?
As someone...
Hey, Keith, can Oakland win this week, too?
No, that's
the trifecta.
No,
as someone,
no, no,
as someone,
will not.
As someone so candidly said to me once, and birthed this nickname, Andy remembers. Slow down there, Cowboy. So let's talk Cowboys. It seems like a typical Cowboys thing, right? Just when things are looking great, they're on their way to mediocrity again, destined to lose to Mark Sanchez for the division. But I think you can give them a little bit of a pass. Because Brandon Weeden absolutely sucks. I mean, it's a huge... Given that Romo came into the season with injury issues, with the back issues already... The fact that Whedon's their backup quarterback is an absolute joke. I mean, they would probably be better off having Jason Garrett take off the headset and put on the pads. Because Whedon just, I don't think it's a coincidence that DeMarco Murray rushed for 100 yards, you know, was it 8 games in a row? And then Whedon started, and he rushed for like 17 yards. You know? I mean, there's no threat of the pass. Romo's going to play this week. They're playing Jacksonville. I mean, if you're right, Keith, I mean, is that a legitimate pick, Keith? Or
No. I mean, that was a little fury there. But you know, when they lost to Washington, I couldn't take that. Maybe there was a little personal reason behind that, but that hurt, man. I couldn't believe they lost to the Redskins at home on Monday night. Brandon Weeden actually played well in that Washington game when he came in. He actually did. Now, last week, no, you know, he reverted right back to Brandon Whedon. But when he came in relief of Romo in that Washington game, he didn't turn the ball over. He made the throws he needed to make, and he did the most important thing, hand the ball to DeMarco Murray without fumbling. And they were still in that game. And then Romo comes in, you know, on that last drive of the game, and then in the overtime, and they reverted back to the Cowboys I know and love, the suck-ass Cowboys. They are done. They will not win that division. 3 weeks ago, we were calling them maybe the best team in the league. They are not going to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, my word. I think they're going
to. That is a real prediction. That's a real prediction.
I think they're going to win the division still. I mean, as long as Romo stays upright, he shouldn't have come back into the Redskins game. And let's be honest, guys, when the Colt McCoy train is on, you know, rumbling at you, all you can really do is get out of the way. Am I right or am
man,
I right, Andy?
You're reminding me, Colt McCoy was the quarterback in that game. Unbelievable.
So, Senior, which side of the fence do you fall on here? Do you think the Cowboys are pretenders marching their way to 8-8, or do you think, you know, the Romo injury, they pick up a little confidence this week against Jacksonville and the train keeps rolling? What do you say?
Well, if you look at those two losses, honestly, that game 2 weeks ago, that Washington game, I watched that game from start to finish, and you remember what I told you after, Cowboy. That game was the most physical game I've seen all season. That was a bloodbath. That was an absolute war. It was one of those divisional rivalry games, and it sounds cliche, but one of those divisional rivalry games that you throw the records out, and because they just beat the crap out of each other. I said to you after that game, and I mean, this is an impressive win for Washington, and they're playing Minnesota the week after. I said to you after that game, picking the games next week, I pick both Dallas and Washington to lose just because you're on a short week and you just played the most physical game that the NFL has seen all year. And I was absolutely right. So,
and modest.
I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass. And also, what you said about Brandon Whedon having to play last week, what they think of Brandon Whedon, you know, when you got Jerry Jones going down to the sidelines in the fourth quarter saying, I don't care if they're wheeling him out here on a hospital bed. Please put Tony back. And the fact that Romo's got two fractured bones in his back, and they don't trust Whedon to take the game against Jacksonville this week when they've got a bye week next week, and they could give Romo 2 weeks off. You figure you should be able to handle Jacksonville. But that's how little trust they have in Whedon. That they're going to make Romo play. They won't give him the 2 weeks off because they don't trust Whedon to win that game. So I honestly didn't consider that Washington loss that bad a loss just because you get those divisional games sometimes that just turn into wars, and that's what that was. That was a bloodbath. That was a great game. That was an old-time football game to watch, one of the few games I've seen like that this year that was just a physical, knockdown, drag-out fight. It was a fun game to watch, and I give the Redskins credit for winning it. But I said they weren't going to win the week after. And not only that, Dallas went into that last week's game. It wasn't only Brandon Weeder playing. They're playing a heck of a team. They were playing a team with the best record in the NFL. They didn't lose to chopped liver in that game, you know? So I still think they're okay. I still think that they're the best team in the NFC.
The Arizona Cardinals are one.
They do need Romo to stay healthy, though. And I think, I don't know, if I'm them, I think I'd be sitting them this week, and I know they're going to play him. You know, you can see it. They're going to play him because they don't trust Whedon. That's pretty sad to have a backup quarterback that you can't trust to beat Jacksonville. I mean, basically, all you got to do is hand it off all day. You don't have to throw many passes to beat Jacksonville. Your defense, the Cowboys have a good defense. They should be able to keep Jacksonville off the board for the most part. Just run Murray behind that offensive line most of the day, and that should be enough to win that game. And in the hope that keep Tony Romo healthy for the rest of the year. So, because if you have that little trust in Whedon, you certainly don't want to go into the rest of your schedule with him. So that's the one thing that I would worry about, that if Romo would go down, they'd be in trouble. But other than that, I still think they're the class of the NFCs.
Yeah, I agree with that. Andy, what are you anything to add there on the Cowboys? Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the start of a downward spiral for them, and it's just what Cowboy Senior said there, that, you know, it was perfectly set up for them to give Romo 2 weeks to get healthy again, and they're just so short-sighted, and there's so much, like, just, you know, owner interference in the whole operation of the team that they're going to make him fly out to London and start against Jacksonville because they can't. It's so short-sighted. I hate that decision, and I kind of hope they pay for it. That's really how I feel about it.
I like it, Andy. I like it. I agree with Senior as well that there's no point in playing Romo in this game. I mean, Whedon is bad, and they might. What do you think, Andy? Do you think
it? Well, they're treating it like a must-win game. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to play a hurt guy when it's like week 17 and you need to win to get into the playoffs. This is fucking Jacksonville, and there's still, you know, half a season to go. I don't understand the why you'd risk his season against Jacksonville when you have a bye week the next week. It seems so crazy to me.
No logic behind it. And if you lose the game to Jacksonville, you lose the game to Jacksonville. You know,
right.
It's not the end of the world, especially in that division.
But if you lose Romo for the year, then that's the end of the world, you know?
Absolutely. All right, good stuff. Well,
you keep saying in that division, but Philly's 6-2, and I know Sanchez is their quarterback now, but I think Philadelphia is going to win that division, not Dallas.
Philadelphia is a fraudulent 6-2, in my opinion. Oh, okay. I think they're going to lose to Carolina this week.
Yo! The bold predictions are flying everywhere tonight.
I don't think that's that bold of a prediction. I mean, it's Carolina is a good team and the kind of team that can give Philly problems.
They're really kind of a trick or treat team, though, right? Like, they'll look awesome, like killing Pittsburgh, and then, or was it the other way around? Excuse me, sorry.
But they'll come on, look Andy.
One week and then get blown out the next week. I never know what to think of them. You know what I mean? Every time I think I figured that team out, they'll go the other way.
Right. And they played like complete shit last week, and but it was Thursday night, so they were, you know, they played Thursday night. They get until that's the Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken. So nice long rest, Philly. Philly, a lot of positives coming out of Philly about Mark Sanchez. And he's really. I mean, I watched. I mean, Andy, you were with me. We watched that, and
yeah,
I saw a couple of Mark Sanchez type throws in that game. And, Chip Kelly's system's great, especially for a quarterback. So I have no doubt that Sanchez is going to put up numbers. No doubt in my mind, he's going to put up numbers. But can you trust him? Do you trust him at all? I really need to see it. I mean, I need to see it. I have visions. I mean, the guy completely mentally fell apart the last time he was a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I know certain individuals that we're close to will make every excuse in the book for him, but he was bad. He was the worst quarterback in the NFL for the Jets. There's some natural talent there. He's still
it was a very bad situation. We should at least point that out.
It was a terrible situation.
And now he's in a great situation.
He is.
Great. A lot better surrounding cast.
So I guess now we find out whether that natural talent that ever existed at all, right? Or whether it was just a fluke that he had those great start to his career. Not great, but, you know, a lot of success. A
lot of success. Flacco-like in that.
Yeah, right.
He was a great record. Not really anything to do with him. But the here's my problem with Sanchez. It's the one thing, I would say probably even more so in the Chip Kelly offense, the one thing you can't be is wildly inaccurate. And sure. That seems to be the thing that's very difficult to guys who are inaccurate don't generally become precision passers.
As years go by, right. They don't get more accurate.
Like, you know, you can teach a guy you can teach a guy to stay in the pocket longer. But if the ball's not going where he wants it to and it's freaking, I mean, you know, I'm worried for Jeremy Maclin. I love Jeremy Maclin. He's injury prone, and I can see one of Sanchez's friggin' high fastballs getting him taken out for the season. I mean, it's just anyway. We'll see. I like Carolina. I like Carolina by double digits in that game. To be honest with you, I think they are trick or treat. Their backs are against the wall. Philly's feeling a little too good about Sanchez. And I think Newton just shreds that defense. I really do. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, I have two interesting Mark Sanchez comments. They're kind of polar opposite of each other. Okay, I'll start off with the one that's kind of positive about him. I don't know if you guys heard the quote from Drew Bledsoe. And the fact that it comes from Drew Bledsoe is what makes it real interesting, because those of us who are familiar with Drew, because we're New England people, you know, the nicest guy in the world. You never heard Drew Bledsoe say anything bad about anyone. He's quote, I heard him say it, that he's so happy for Mark Sanchez that he's getting this chance to quarterback the Philadelphia Eagles, because it's so unfair to him that he thinks he's a talented guy and that his only chance at starting quarterback he had was starting for the Jets. And he said, you know, starting quarterback, being the starting quarterback for the Jets, that's just like being that pretty virgin that you lead up to the top of the mountain and you sacrifice her and have her jump into the live volcano. Drew Bledsoe said that about the Jets.
Well, we should get Drew on the lounge.
Yeah, I mean, it was so un-Drew-like. So, and he complimented Sanchez when he said it, too. But here's my Sanchez statistic, and this is the ultimate stat. In the years that he was the Jets starting quarterback, his years as a player, in his career, he is the only player quarterback in the NFL who averaged more turnovers per game played than Eli Manning. I don't have to say anymore.
Wow.
That is a true statistic.
Cowboys senior.
Believe you.
You always figure, I mean, we're not talking about the Giants, senior. Andy took a month off because he was, you know, he didn't want to get kicked out of the lounge for punching you. And then we're talking about the Mark Sanchez. And there it is, the zinger to Eli.
Well, the thing is, you know, I always thought Eli was the ultimate because obviously he has way more total turnovers than anyone per year or whatever because he played more. But per game, Sanchez is the only quarterback who averaged more turnovers per game than Eli Manning. Man, I honestly thought that was an impossible feat, but Sanchez did it. So that would concern you. But, you know, as looking at it from the Eagles' point of view, is it that big a drop-off? How good was Nick Foles? I know he put up some big numbers last year, but after we've watched him play this year, what do you really think of the guy? I think it's more, just more of the system. I don't think he's anything special. I think Sanchez can play the game just as well as Foles. I don't think there's going to be a big drop-off from the Foles we've had. That's my opinion.
I agree with you.
We should at least mention that the system didn't do much for Matt Barkley, right?
This is true. Or Vic.
Not too much.
Vic has some really good.
Barkley. I mean, he's not an NFL player.
I think you're underselling Foles a little bit. I mean,
he hasn't been very impressive to me this year. I honestly think his numbers are a product of the system. We'll see.
He had 27 touchdowns and two picks last year.
Last year was unbelievable. Let's talk about this year. He hasn't looked that good.
What have you done for me lately?
I test. Watch the games and tell me what you think of the way Foles throws the ball. Yeah. I think Sanchez is there. I don't think there's going to be a drop-off. I really don't.
Oh, man. All right. We'll see. This is why we... And I'm not saying Sanchez is going to be bad, but he really needs to show me. And to Andy's point, everybody thought last year, but before Foles went on that run, that, yeah, you could just throw anybody back there. And, you know, Vic had some good games. He was pretty trick-or-treat. And then Barkley couldn't run the offense at all. I mean, they scored freaking five.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying anybody. I mean, we've seen what Vic is now. I mean, come on. And then Matt Barkley will never be an NFL quarterback. You know, he has no arm strength, he has no accuracy, he has no mobility. What the hell is a guy doing in the NFL? You know? Can you think of a good quality Matt Barkley has?
I don't think he's that inaccurate.
He played for USC. He's awful.
He went to USC, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess who else went to USC, guys?
That's Mark Sanchez, that's right.
I'll tell you what, Matt Barkley makes a guy like Charlie Whitehurst look like Dan Marino. I mean, that's just a stiff. I'm saying you put a decent quarterback back there. And I don't think Sanchez is that bad. I don't think Foles is anything special.
All right, we'll see.
I don't think there's going to be a big difference in the Eagles with Sanchez.
But I'm more than happy to be on this side. Andy, who do you think is going to win the game this Monday?
I guess Yeah, I'm like 50-50, but I'll go with Philly just because we've been talking about them.
That is an indictment on Philly because Andy hates the Panthers. He thinks they're the worst team in the NFL.
Well, again, eye test thing. If you watch them play last week, and you know, it's just the last thing you saw, so it sticks fresh in your mind.
Yeah, right.
I watched their quarterback overthrow Benjamin, who's about 6'9". All day long, he couldn't even get the ball down low enough to get it into a guy 6'9's hands. I mean, his passes were so inaccurate, it was ridiculous. Yeah, the guy can run like hell, but he's not playing good at quarterback. Their defense, which was supposed to be their calling card, hasn't been good this year at all. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that impressed with Philly, but I'm really unimpressed with Carolina.
I mean,
I think it's a bold prediction, Cowboy, especially with the game being it is in Philly, right?
It is in Philly. Whenever Philly,
they're not going to lose at home to those jokers. No way.
Whenever Philly's home, I feel like it's like 50-50 that it's going to be a positive for them. Because if it turns, it'll turn quick. Yeah. And I think I think you're selling Cam Newton short a bit. I mean, it's not like it's the guy's first game. I mean, the guy's proven he can win at the NFL level. He's proven he can throw at the NFL level. He's not the most accurate guy in the world, but he had a bad game. The guy had a bad game.
He's actually been really good this year. It's just the team around him has been really dragging him down, especially the line.
He played like shit against New Orleans. He really did. I mean,
he missed
those guys left and right. But, I mean, that makes me think even more he's going to come back stronger because – the guy's got, I mean, he's a real, real talented guy who seems to really be growing into an elite quarterback. So we'll see. I can't wait till next week after Philly gets their asses kicked and I can shove it in you guys' face.
You know, honestly, I did say I think Philly's going to win the division, but I do think they're going to lose this week to Carolina.
Uh-oh.
I actually agree with you. But that doesn't mean they're going to lose the division.
The way you are tonight, I don't like that at all, Keith.
No, hey, no, I'm just saying. Carolina is what, 3-5? 3-5-1? I think that's their record. I mean, this is do or die for them.
Right. Well,
this is a pretty good
8-8 might win that division.
Well, I don't know. The Saints have looked pretty good lately. So
another great segue, Keith. Another great, great segue. So probably the biggest upset last week and the most pathetic thing I saw last week was the San Francisco 49ers losing at home to the Austin Davis-led St. Louis Rams.
Oh, boy.
Good teams don't lose that game. Good quarterbacks don't fumble that ball. This is the team that I think's going into the tailspin, not the Cowboys. You've heard the rumblings all season about discontent in the locker room. They don't like Harbaugh. Kaepernick, a lot of people thought he would take a step forward this year. He'll make you, you're in awe 1 minute because of how good he looked, of a play he makes. And then you're in awe the next minute because of how much of a bonehead he is. I feel like the guy doesn't really have the mental makeup to be a top flight quarterback. He seems to shrink away from the moment. I mean, he Romo takes all the shit for not coming through in the clutch, but Kaepernick has, for such a young guy, has a bit of a history of choking. You can't fumble that ball. You cannot fumble that ball in that situation. You just can't. And I mean, that's a bad, bad, bad loss. And they're going to New Orleans this week, which is arguably, maybe outside of Seattle. Not that it's the toughest stadium to play in, but New Orleans doesn't lose there. They just don't lose there. And I think they're going to hand San Francisco their asses. The Cardinals are running away with that division, as was predicted by the Cowboy in the preseason.
Good call.
Yeah, I mean, I think San Francisco is in big trouble. I think Harbaugh's gone. And I was discussing it with our buddy JR this week. And Harbaugh to the Jets. I think that's a distinct possibility. Senior, you probably disagree with me.
I don't know. I really don't know. I thought San Francisco was going to recover and, like, I even the game 2 weeks ago where they got blown out, well, before their bye week, when they got blown out by Denver, okay, you know, you're at Denver, you can accept that. I mean, this is a Rams team that they had gone into St. Louis just a few weeks earlier and kicked their butts. And their defense, which is, has been solid this year, other than that one game, other than the Denver game, their defense has been very solid, very, very good against both the pass and the run, even though they've had a lot of guys out, too. Their defense has really come up strong for them, but that's an indictment on their offense, that they, you know, the defense that they up and they lose 13-10 to the Rams, and they still haven't. They have a chance to steal a win where you could, you know, you would have, you know, okay, we're 5-3, you know, you'd have quickly forgotten about it if they would put the ball in at the end and they run that crazy sneak instead when you got one of the better power backs in the NFL standing there behind the quarterback looking pretty, you know. And Gore, just give Gore the ball and let him win the game. The guy takes care of the ball, you know, like, you know, you call the sneak to Kaepernick and what you call, I don't know if it was one of those where he patted the center on it on the butt and did it himself, that I don't know, because he's such a blockhead, I guess, and he'd be awesome. I think Cap, you know, I said I thought he was going to take another step this year, but maybe, you know, Kaepernick's brain and immaturity is going to really be the undoing of this team, because they do have a solid defense and they get everybody back. It's a real good defense and they got a lot of good pieces on offense. Maybe if they would have just pounded the ball on the ground, thrown safe passes, hung on to Alex Smith and let Kaepernick go, they'd probably be a better team. But no, there's no way I see him going into New Orleans and winning, because the one game that they were taking apart was the road game at Denver. That was their defense's only bad. This is the same kind of thing where you're going into a real tough environment with a team that's going to throw the ball all over you. With New Orleans is the ultimate great at home, lousy on the road team, like completely different team at home and on the road. So I see that as a loss. Now they're 4-5, and can they recover from there? Well, if you look at the schedule, they should get to 5-5 the next week, because they do go to New York to play the Giants. And then
uh-huh.
We'll see. The jury's still out. At that point, they'll be 5-5, and the jury will still be out on them. They could still make a run and make the playoffs. They're obviously not going to catch Arizona and win the division. They have a lot of winnable games down the stretch of their schedule after this New Orleans game. You know, the Giants, Washington, Oakland. Okay, 2 weeks. Which are tough, but, you know, it's not as tough as they're supposed to be. So the jury's out on them, and I think it all hinges on Kaepernick, Mr. Schizophrenic himself. And it's not the physical tools, it's the brain and the maturity. If he could ever mature and grow up and play smart with those physical tools, he'd be a great quarterback. But right now, he's way too much of a blockhead, and that's probably what's going to be their undoing in the end.
Yeah, and Senior, I think you bring up a great point in the way that it's an indictment on Harbaugh, the way that game ended. First and goal at the 3. Then they had a timeout. They had a timeout, and there was about 30 seconds left. They throw 2 passes and then a sneak. They had Hyde in, and he's a power back. You don't run it once. They're about an inch away. You don't run the ball once except with them. It makes
no sense.
And
that's the best thing about your offense is that's what you are. That's your identity. You're a team that pounds the ball, you know, and you don't even give it a shot. The only thing you've got is a crazy sneak with Kaepernick. I don't get it either. That was really dumb. I mean, to have played that bad of a game and be in a position to win it and then you give it away like that is just, like you say, I agree. Bad coaching at the end of the game, a blockhead quarterback, you put it all together and you lose a game that, yeah. Good teams will play a bad game and get away with it and win at the end, and you'll forget all about it. It's a win in the record books, and that's it. You know, you move on. Kind of like, you know, you're all going to have them like the Patriots playing that close game with the Jets. We've all forgotten about it because they won. You know, you pull it together, you win. Like some of the Steelers' wins at the beginning of the year that I kind of hopped on. But, you know, they played bad teams, they played bad games, but they did win. You know, and that's the difference. In the end, that's the difference between being a playoff team and not being a playoff team, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely. Keith, you like New Orleans?
Yeah, I think they're going to be, they're off, you know, San Francisco can't score. And New Orleans, I mean, at home, you know, you can write them down for you know, 24 points at least.
In the first half.
You know, that's a bad game. That's a bad game for them. So, you know. San Fran is having big time trouble scoring. I honestly think they're putting too much on Kaepernick's plate. I mean, hand the ball. You got two good running backs, not just one, two. Hand the ball off.
And I mean,
then play action pass. He's got a great receiving core. I mean, you know, what do you got? Bolden, Crabtree, Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd to stretch the field, Vernon Davis, good tight end. I don't understand what this team's problem is. You know, it's got to be the quarterback.
Or both.
Yeah, the play calling. But, I mean, I just think they're putting – he's still a young quarterback. What's his third year? Right? I think that's Kaepernick's third year.
As a
third full year starting.
Yeah, he was his second year, but they started him, correct?
Yeah, and right.
Midway through his second year. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's still learning. So, but he, you know, he's out there kind of trying to run the show like he's Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers. He's not. You know, you got to kind of treat him with kid gloves here. Hand the ball off, play action pass, and things would be a lot better because they do have a good defense. And they're big cogs, you know, Smith, Bowman, Willis, they're all going to come back, which is just going to make that defense that much better. But I think they're going to be too far out of it by then. I mean, you did say they got the Giants, they got Washington, Oakland, but they also have two against Seattle and another game against Arizona. I don't see how they recover. Because, I mean, as it stands, Arizona would have to completely fall on their face to not win that division. And I just think Seattle is a more complete team than San Francisco. And, with Green Bay and Detroit, I don't see how they're going to get a wild card spot. I mean, they'd have to win this week, my opinion. They have to win this week. This is their week right here. If they lose this game, they're done.
Yeah, and then another thing, watching that game that we haven't brought up that we should, is just how piss poor their offensive line played. Protecting Kaepernick. Yeah, Andy.
I know you guys are all talking about Kaepernick, and I know I'm the one Kaepernick apologist here, but I think the line is the biggest difference between that team last year and this year. They can't run the way they used to. It's just, you know, it used to be one of the greatest lines in football, and it's really fallen back to the pack a lot.
Yeah,
Kaepernick's the most sacked quarterback in football too.
He got the living shit beat out of him in that game. I mean, he got.
And as Patriots fans, I think you guys would know that, a line play can have a pretty big effect on how your quarterback looks, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Absolutely. Spoken like a Giants fan. All right, so before we...
That said, I do agree that New Orleans is going to win this game.
Excellent. Before we break, wanted to do our mid-season awards. So, figure MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. I'll go first.
Okay.
MVP, Andrew Luck. Taking the step up for me, I think I talked about for them to truly contend and not be kind of a contender, he would have to make the leap even more so. And if there's a better quarterback in football, I don't know him. If there's a guy who I want the ball in his hands, I love him, and I think he's the most valuable guy in the league. I think he can make a case for a couple of other guys, but I won't say them because I'm sure you guys will pick them and make the case for them. But I think as far as when I think of most valuable player, I think of if I were to replace Andrew Luck on that team with the middle of the road quarterback, Joe Flacco, something like that, the team goes from Super Bowl contender to probably not making the playoffs. That would be the way I saw it. Defensive Player of the Year, I think, is pretty easy. I think we'll probably all say J.J. Watt. Coach of the Year, pretty easy for me, it's Bruce Arians. That Cardinals team's overachieving. You look at the personnel, and you look at the personnel of the Niners and of the Seahawks, and it's tough to see how that team's winning that division. That team has the best record in football, and I think it starts with the coach, and he's awesome. Andy, what do you got?
Is it just those two? Oh, no, defensive player of the year. I agree with you. I think J.J. Watt's the best defensive player in the league, and in fact, I'd say he's MVP. I know Houston's probably not going to make the playoffs, but they're playing a lot better than they should with freaking Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback.
Not anymore. We're going to talk about that anymore. In segment two.
Yeah, right. And I do. I wish defensive players got more consideration for MVP, so he'd be my pick for that and for defensive player of the year. And I can't argue with Bruce Arians. Like, you know, I was very down on Arizona to start this year, and with all the players they have lost, to not lose a step at all and to look even better this year than last year, that coaching staff is really impressive.
So since you picked J.J. Watt as MVP, Andy, who would be your offensive player of the year?
Oh, I'm trying not to say Andrew Luck. Antonio Brown, I guess. He's been really – he was good last year, but he's been really – really impressive this year.
He looks like he's in that Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison mold.
Yeah.
Where those guys, the big guys are the guys that get all the pub. But when you get a average size guy like that, who's just a great route runner and great after the catch.
It's incredible at getting open. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, they're just, when those guys really click, they're to me, they're the most valuable type of receiver you can have. Because he's just as good on a bubble screen as he is at a fly pattern.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And by all accounts, everything you read about the kid is that true to the nature of the Steelers, he's the hardest worker on the team. He was a sixth round draft pick, model citizen. And yeah, I mean, that you can't get him out of the gym. They say Roethlisberger has to pull him out of the gym so he doesn't wear himself out. And that he, you know, he went from basically being in the league as a punt returner to the best receiver in football. So I think that's a great call, Andy. Cowboy Senior, what do you got for us?
Okay, I'm going to make it unanimous on Defensive Player of the Year and Coach of the Year. I can't see how you can go any other way with either one.
Unless Keith picks something different, then it won't be unanimous.
All right. I mean, Arians has been unbelievable. I thought he was a great coach, and he's just, I mean, he showed it 2 years ago when he stepped in for Pagano, and he's been absolutely great with Arizona since, and J.J. Watt's unbelievable. Even though the team's only 4-5 and everything, he's just such a force out there. There's no defensive player like him that gets after it like he does. Gets after the quarterback, does everything. I mean, he turns doesn't only tip balls, he catches them. He's like just completely an amazing defensive player.
So senior, you're as the elder statesman. And, I mean, I have recollections. To me, he's the most dominant defensive player since LT. Remember when LT in his prime changed the game, dominated the game on defense. And Watts,
yeah, never been a player like to win MVP.
Did Ray Lewis win MVP ever?
I don't think so.
But I mean, Ray Lewis would be the other one, but I think Watt's even better than he was. So maybe,
yeah.
You don't know if it's going to be for the whole career, but right now, you get the feeling whenever Houston's on defense, particularly with Fitzpatrick at the helm, that they almost have a better chance of scoring than when the offense has the ball.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
He is unbelievable. Yeah, LT was the best defensive player I ever saw when he was in his prime, and I won't quite put Watt there yet, but he's the closest thing we've seen. Different position, but he does the same kind of things. You know, gets after the quarterback all over the field, just everywhere. Just an incredible playmaker. I agree. He's just an amazing player. But MVP, I'm not going to go with him because the team's 4-5. I don't know. To me, your MVP should come from a team that's a winning team. And it's going to be kind of a weird position guy to take, but it's your argument that this guy just makes such a huge difference on his team. Turns them from being a very average offense to a great offense. I'm going to say Rob Gronkowski is the MVP.
Oh, you! You stole my thunder! You stole my thunder there, senior!
At the beginning of the season, he was playing, but he wasn't 100% yet, and the Pats' offense was struggling, and I know their offensive line came together, too. But he affects every aspect of that offense. He's an unbelievable receiver. He's a matchup nightmare. There's no one that can match up to him as a receiver. he's a ferocious blocker. I mean, he's like having another tackle, and a real good one. I mean, he's an incredible blocker. He gets out. He helps the other wide receivers, number one, by throwing a lot of coverage. All of a sudden, these other guys have it made running around. And when they throw these bubble screens and stuff, he gets out there and blocks, and it's like they always turn into good plays because, are you kidding me? I thought those defensive backs are running for cover when he gets out there. He's just a freak. He's an absolute freak, and I think he's the MVP of the league so far, I think. And I'll even take it this far. Him being healthy, Patriots are Super Bowl champions. He's not healthy, they probably go out in the first round of the playoffs. That's how valuable Gronk is. So, you could say Brady, too, if you're talking about the Patriots. They wouldn't get anywhere without him, but it's so different to have a tight end be this valuable that I'm going to call him the MVP of the league because he affects the team that much.
Thanks, Senior. And I mean, I know some of the listeners, and I heard Andy's very cynical laugh when Cowboy Senior said Rob Gronkowski. I know the listeners probably think Senior's being a bit of a homer here, but, you know, and I'm always the first to call him out. But I liken Gronkowski's effect on the Patriots offense to Calvin Johnson on the Detroit offense. They're a different team. They are a different team with him in there. It's real tough to give the MVP to a tight end. Very, very tough to give the NFL MVP to a tight end. I don't think it's that outlandish of a statement, given you know, the sample size is large enough now that when he's healthy, they're world beaters, and when he's not, they're not. I mean, their offense is average without him, and for all the reasons Senior said. So lay off him a little, fans. He's not being that much of a homer. It's a legitimate claim.
Watch the guy play. Just watch him play. He is an absolute beast. He's a unique player. I remember during last week's game, it was Jim Nance and Phil Sims doing the game. And Jim Nance, at one point after Gronk made a play, Jim Nance said, "There's nobody in the league like him." And Phil Sims said, "There's never been anyone like him. He's that unique a player. He's just unbelievable." And he hadn't been 100% healthy in so long that I'd kind of almost forgotten just how much of a terror he is when he's 100% healthy. He's just unbelievable. He really is. He affects the game that much.
We love Gronk. I hung out with Gronk for about 15 minutes once. Good story. Good story. As I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was getting married, and a couple of friends were flying in from Rhode Island on the Patriots bye week, and Gronk happened to be on their plane. So they met him. They introduced me to him. I waited for his bags with him. Really good guy. Really, really good guy. And if you've never met someone like that in person, the thought of actually trying to tackle him kept me up for nights. I felt like I couldn't have tackled him while driving my Chrysler 200 if I hit him with it. He's just a big, strong kid. And interestingly enough, I think about an hour or two later is when he took those pictures with B.B. Jones. So hopefully I somehow inspired him to do that.
I'm sure he was thinking of you, Roger.
It was the page. One time for me, Gronk. One time for the guy who's getting married. Is it going to be able to do that B.B. Jones stuff anymore? You know. So Keith, close us out, buddy. Who do you got? You can say
I can actually say
Gronk too if you want. That's all right.
You know, that was my pick right there, Gronk. Everything that Senior said and more. I mean, this guy completely changes the offense. And like you just said, it's like taking Calvin Johnson away from Detroit. Watch what happens this week with Detroit's offense with Calvin back. And Gronk has that same effect on the Pats offense. He makes everyone on the team around him that much better. Look at the beginning of the season, the first 3-4 games when everybody was up in arms. What's wrong with the Patriots? Well, Gronk was on the field you know, a third of the time. Now he's in there every play. You see what happens. He draws so much attention, double teams, sometimes triple teams. He makes LaFell better. He makes Edelman better. And he makes Tom Brady look a hell of a lot better. You know, I know the offensive line was a mess the first 4 weeks, but I think a big part of why Brady was patting the ball and moving his feet, besides the pressure that was coming at him, was his binky was not out there. And you take him away from this team, they might not win this division.
So, Keith,
that's how valuable I think he is.
I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to real quick. And, Senior, you can answer this too. Do you think it's fair to name an MVP for a guy who admittedly, I mean, we've only played eight games, right? Eight or nine games. And he wasn't himself for like almost half of them. Like, he's really only played like four games, right, where he's been himself. Do you think it's fair to call that person the MVP of the first half of the season?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they got the right now. The Pats have home field advantage. Would have home field advantage through the playoffs in the AFC if they started today, and it's because the last four games Gronk's been himself. He still gutted it out those first few games and contributed. But, you know, if he would have led the team to being in the middle of the pack for the first half, okay, then it'd be unfair to say that. But because of him, they're on this five-game winning streak. They wouldn't be on it. Because of him, they have home field advantage. He's the guy that's made that's had the biggest effect on that. Everything you guys say about Calvin Johnson is true. But I think Gronk does one more thing that Calvin doesn't do because of the position he plays. He helps the running game a lot, too. It's like he's another interior lineman and a good one. I mean, he moves people when they're running the ball. He's not blocking on the outside. He's blocking right in the interior. I mean, he's a pure tight end. There's nobody that's more valuable. And, yeah, I'd say the fact that the Pats have home field advantage right now all the way through, if the season ended today, and that's what we're naming it for this part of the season, and he's led them to that, then it's fair to call him the MVP of the league, yes.
All right.
He is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 12th in the league in receiving yards with 663. He's a tight end. Remember that.
Keith, I'm telling you, man, you're not making a great case.
He's got eight touchdowns. And like you said, the first half of the season, he wasn't on the field the entire time. He will be in the top, if he stays healthy the entire year, in the top six receiving yards and probably lead the league in touchdowns by the end of the season.
I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I kind of... Andy, are you hearing kind of... So, why not give it to Roethlisberger?
Or why not give it to Calvin Johnson, the guy we keep comparing him to? Because the team got worse after he got hurt, does that make him the most valuable player?
And I think Gronk, for the whole, if he does stay healthy for the whole season, he'll probably finish in the top five for the MVP. I think it's tough to call him the midseason MVP of the NFL when he didn't really play for like the first three games.
Well, he wasn't that bad.
He did play.
Yeah,
he did play, but they brought him in on they brought him in, you know, third downs and in the red zone.
In red zone, right?
Basically. I mean, because like Roethlisberger. He's played really good in about half the games. Anyway, and then
no, don't.
But that's
come
just
on.
Me. All right, guys, embrace and debate. I love Gronk. We love you, Gronk. I'm not. It's not an indictment on Gronk. It's just I think the spirit of the award. Like if this has nothing to do with what Adrian Peterson did off the field. But if he were to come back for the next game and rush for 1,200 yards in eight games, and Minnesota made the playoffs, I don't think you could call him the MVP of the NFL. That's just me.
I heard a thing on the radio the other day where they pulled the beat writers of every team in the NFL for a first half MVP, and it was a Patriot who won it. It wasn't Gronk, it was Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady, yeah.
Yeah, because it's an award they tend to give to quarterbacks, and obviously, yeah, but you take Brady off the Patriots and they're not going anywhere either. We know that, too. You know, the two of them, it's just Gronk is unique, and I do think he's that valuable. I know it sounds crazy, a tight end. I know it breaks tradition, you know, a tight end MVP can't be, but hey, he's my MVP.
And in those first four games that we were talking about where he didn't play much, he scored 3 touchdowns in those 4 games.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's had a great first half. But
and
I mean,
you can certainly don't measure him only by his numbers. You measure him by the effect he's having on what everybody else is able to do because he's in there. You know, that's something you can't really quantify by his numbers.
Andy loves that when you don't measure it by the numbers.
The intangibles, love it.
All right, guys.
We're not saying who's the rushing champion, right? I mean, MVP doesn't mean strictly numbers.
Yeah. Do you think he's had a better first half than DeMarco Murray? Do you really do? Or Antonio Brown? Really?
He hasn't fumbled the ball 6 times, I can tell you that.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll pick this up after the break. So, great discussion, guys. I mean, I can really feel the fire here in the lounge. This is what you want. In the lounge, we're in New England. So in the lounge, what we like to do is everybody have a few drinks, be friends at the beginning of the night, and then just fight each other at the end of the night and get thrown out of the lounge for fighting your friends. That's what we do here. So that's what's going to happen.
Before we break, let me say this. If DeMarco Murray played for the Patriots, he wouldn't have more than 300 yards rushing, because after his 3rd fumble, he would never play again.
That's a good point. Ask Stephen Ridley.
Ask Stephen Ridley what happens when you fumble the ball.
This is going somewhere that we don't need.
Okay.
All right, guys. We'll be back. We'll be back. So here at Place to Be Nation, we have a number of different things besides the fantastic podcast that you're listening to. So listen to our ads. There's a number of other podcasts, whether you're a big wrestling fan, whether you like pop culture, more wrestling, a lot of wrestling, and another sports podcast, our sister podcast, the PTBN Extra Point. Hosted by Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribolino. They do a fantastic job, too. Every so often, the Cowboys on there. Mr. Flanagan's been on there as well. And we're running a nice tournament here at Place to Be Nation. So that's your tease. So hang out, and I'll tell you about it when we come back. So Cowboy out. We'll be back in a minute. I'm too loud, nasty as I want to be. You know, shake your ass in front of me. Before I take it there and tear your back out. That sh** ain't happened since the map was out. Roller Falana, dripped in Gabbana. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top 6 lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, 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 Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina,
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, won't you quit? You really make me sick with your fraudulent behavior. You're gonna make me.
Welcome back to the Sports Lounge, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the break. Take a little tip from the arguing continues through the day. This has been a real heated episode. I hope everyone's enjoying it, and we're going to continue that. But before we get into more sports talk, got a couple of announcements. First, PlaceToBeNation.com just started their tournament. So we ran one for best TV character of all time. That was good. Won by Homer Simpson. Absolute joke, if you ask me. How Tony Soprano doesn't win that is beyond me. Regardless, we're now running best song of the 90s. So we started out with a whopping 640 songs, 440 of which I understand were picked by Andy Flanagan himself personally, with no one checking his work.
That's correct.
So, but
I'm responsible for every choice on there, so just tweet at me if you have any problems with the ranking.
So, but it's really cool, and if you're a listener of the podcast, share this one with your friends who maybe aren't wrestling fans or aren't sports fans, and every night at midnight for probably the next 10 years, we're releasing 10 songs. You vote for 5 of them, tally up the votes at the end. Those are your top 5, move on from each group, and we're going to continue that until we get to, I believe, is it a round of 64 or 128, whatever the case may be, and then it's head-to-head. So us 90s kids, I know Andy, Keith, you fall into that category. Senior, not so much. But really
good. Did the Macarena make the cut?
Oh, yeah, the Macarena is in there. Everything. So across all different music genres, so whether you're kicking it old school to Biggie or banging your head against the wall to Pantera, this contest is for you. So every night at midnight, they're hitting. So if you're someone who wakes up early in the morning, get on there early in the morning. If you're someone like myself who stays up late every night watching the West Coast feed on NBA League Pass, do it at midnight. So please vote. It's good stuff. And, you know, we're going to work that into the lounge a little bit. Not tonight because I don't have everything in front of me, but next time. And then also, special announcement. So next week's lounge, I think there's probably going to be two lounges next week because we have a real special guest that we're going to be interviewing for about an hour segment. John Rook, radio voice of the Providence Friars, is going to be joining us for an interview. We're gonna preview PC basketball, Big East basketball. And we're just going to talk to John. He's been the radio voice of the Friars for a long time, gracious enough to join us here on the lounge. And we can't wait. So to discuss some of the old school PC teams and talk about their Big East tournament victory. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Flanagan and myself, Andy and me, are season ticket holders. We sit right near each other. It's a great time. And Cowboy Senior is a Providence College alum who took me to games, from the time I was about 5 years old. Some of my best memories. And me and Cowboy Senior were throwing some memories back and forth before the podcast tonight. I remember beating Georgetown with the number 3 in the country and storming the court, running on the court as about a 7 year old. multiple instances of a younger, more aggressive Cowboy Senior getting into just about physical altercations with UConn fans and Georgetown fans and instilling in me a hatred for URI that lives to this day. So really, get on here for that. Listen to that because it's going to be awesome. So that's what we got coming up. Now, back to the debate. So we ended with a spirited debate on whether 5 good games constitutes an MVP. And Rob Gronkowski. So Patriots, really impressive victory this week against the Broncos. Real amazing to think five weeks ago, coming off that atrocious loss to Kansas City on Monday Night Football, that it looked like an 8-8 team. We talked about the blind faith. Senior made a lot of mentions. Senior's a big winning in the trenches guy, and they've certainly fixed their offensive line. But I don't know if you guys listened to the podcast right after the Kansas City game. It was Senior, myself, and my good buddy Matthew Rocky Boyle, and I'm gonna say it wasn't the line play. It's not Rob Gronkowski. It's not Tom Brady. It was the fact that we gave Rocky Boyle a public forum, and Rocky Boyle said, and I quote, "They should trade Tom Brady while they can still get something for him," and let Garoppolo learn behind a terrible offensive line because he won't know the difference. That was our expert analysis that night. And given, Rock's a great guy, he's not always the luckiest guy. Given that those statements are now archived forever, he single-handedly turned the Patriots season around. So,
Brady heard about that? Do you think that's what led to all this?
He didn't even need to. He didn't need to. Rock is.
It was just out in the air.
He's a snake bit guy, man. It's just, if you ever want something to happen, put Rock on the radio in a podcast saying that it's not going to happen, and you're good to go. So thank you, Rock, from all of Patriots Nation. Love you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Rock!
But he probably won't listen to this anyway, and if he does, he'll be pissed at me. But it won't be the first time, will it, buddy? So with all that said, I think we should talk about both the Patriots and the Broncos. Real statement win for the Patriots. Played great on both sides of the ball. Really nothing negative to say about them for this game. I mean, they put it to them. They put it to them. Broncos, I don't think this really exposed them in any way. Coming into Foxborough, Hornets Nest, had a couple of bad bounces. Game kind of got away from them, is what it is. So we're going to go to the objective guy first. And that's you, Andy Flynn, again. What do you think of the Pats? Do you think the team you saw the first three games or the team you've seen the last number of games, which one's the real team? Do you think it's somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, the objective answer is somewhere in the middle, but I really have to give them credit after that game. I mean, in some ways, this is just more proof that football doesn't make any sense. Like, you lose Chandler Jones and your pass rush gets better somehow. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but that was just a complete game. It was an ass-kicking game, and they're definitely, you know, like we said earlier, they're in the driver's seat for the number one seed at this point. I mean, it just looks like another, you know, they just roll out these 12-4 seasons. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world. It drives me crazy, but I got to give them credit. They're a really good team.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the upcoming schedule for the Patriots, and it's freaking brutal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Detroit, San Diego, Indianapolis. I mean, it's a real.
I think
real
they've had one of the
stretch.
Easier schedules to this point, based on opposing records, right?
Right.
Well, and it's going to become one of the hardest from this point on. Right.
But I mean, given the way that they played against the Broncos, it's tough to imagine them losing any of these games. You know, I mean, they're going too Green.
Yeah. Will they be an underdog in any of those games? I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I mean, maybe at Green Bay, maybe, but I generally the Patriots get the benefit of the doubt with the spreads. So I think they were favored in that Kansas City game, if you remember.
True.
But Senior.
Yeah.
Where do you think the truth lies?
Oh, I think the whole truth lies is it's probably true of a lot of teams though, that if they can stay reasonably healthy. And as healthy as they are now, I think they're the odds-on favorite to win the AFC. Places where they don't have depth, my big fear, of course, the offensive line, which has come together, a couple of key injuries to that offensive line, they'd be in trouble. Obviously, you lose Brady or Gronk, you'd be in trouble. The defense seems to hold it together, despite, you know, right now, I mean, you can't say that they're playing injury-free. You know, Chandler's not playing, and
Mayo's half of the year, right?
Yeah. You know, the linebacking core is definitely taking a hit, too, you know. So I simply think they somehow scheme and make it work defensively with average plays. I think they do need to keep Revis in the secondary. And the addition of Browner, even though he's taking a lot of penalties, that physical secondary play is nice. I know Belichick doesn't like penalties, but I don't think he's discouraging Browner from whacking these receivers around. He's put him on tight ends and stuff and let him smack him around and take a few penalties, and that's okay. I think he likes the aggressive presence in the secondary. And the good thing about that is if those guys are healthy, that bodes well for playoff football, because some of those penalties aren't going to be penalties in the playoffs. We know that they change the way they officiate. You can beat up the receivers more in the playoffs. It was radically different last year, the way the playoffs were officiated than the regular season was. Who knows? If they officiated the playoffs the way they do the regular season, maybe Denver would have at least made it a game against Seattle. So, yeah, I mean, this Patriot team, the way it's constituted now, what the hell? And I guess you have to say that about any team, though. I mean, if we're going to make a prediction about a team, you got to say, well, you know, they need to take players to stay healthy. Definitely are the odds-on favorite to win the AFC. They're going to be really hard to beat. that's just pure and simple. I mean, I know my view is a little biased in their favor, but it's right in front of us the way they're playing, and they're guys that know how to win. You got a quarterback who's so driven, it's unbelievable, leading the team. You've got arguably the best coach in the NFL who knows how to win, and yes, they're definitely odds-on favorite to win the AFC, even with the schedule looking as tough as it does the rest of the way. I don't see them losing more than one or two more games, so even now, two would probably be surprising. So odds-ons have home field through the playoffs, and with home field in the playoffs, again, barring a key injury, I would see them in the Super Bowl.
All right. Keith, you got anything to add?
I had both of these teams going on 14-2 with that head-to-head matchup deciding home field advantage, and I think my prediction's going to come true. Maybe both of these teams drop one more game apiece. But you're right, the Pats do have a vicious schedule coming. These next four, you got at Indy, home against Detroit, at Green Bay, at San Diego. That's nothing nice right there. But I think
Miami after that.
And then Miami, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that. And then Buffalo. So I think what you've been seeing in the last few weeks is what you're going to get down the stretch. If they do lose, the other team's going to have to play a pretty good game. And I think the big one, I think they're going to handle Indy coming off the bye. Belichick doesn't lose much off a bye week. Green Bay might be the one that gives them an issue, but I think they can outscore Green Bay.
Yeah.
Browner and Revis in that secondary, and Devin McCourty. That's a vicious, vicious secondary. Alfonso Dennett, I don't think, has played in the last two games. He was their other starting corner when Browner was out. You know, now you're going to throw him in the nickel. It's going to be a real good defense. I think the pickup of Akeem Ayers from Tennessee, underrated. He's a pretty good linebacker.
Yeah, he made one real nice, just in the real doghouse. Nice play against the Broncos.
How do you guys feel about the rejuvenation of Patrick Chung?
I'm not a huge Patrick Chung fan, Andy.
I know.
I cringe.
I don't think any Patriots fans are.
I cringe when he's out there. He's done all right. He's done all right so far, but he's the kind of guy who I could see costing him a playoff game. You know,
he scares me in coverage, but he's a pretty solid tackler. He just never seems to be in the right spot.
He really sucks. They've masked it well because the other guys are so good, but you know, they need that home field advantage. Going into Denver is a real tall order, real tall order. I'm really looking forward to a Patriots-Colts game.
Yeah.
The Patriots traditionally do handle the Colts. It's generally a matter of the Patriots defense. Not both offenses are very good, and the Patriots defense just plays a little better. The Colts historically just cannot stop them at all. Like, I mean, if you think about the playoff game last year, for example. But with the leap that Lux made this year, that game, I mean, I think they're going to be real fired up for that game. And almost, and it, you know, like Keith said, in Indy. And they could almost look at that like Luck might be looking at that like a, you know, time for me to rip the torch away kind of game. And I think he's the kind of kid who's going to play like that. And I could see that thing being 45-42 or some ridiculous yeah, type of game, like game of the year, kind of similar to that Broncos-Cowboys game last year, you know, without Romo throwing a pick at the end, of course. But I think that's going to be an awesome game. And the Pats schedule's murder. If they go 4-0 in these next four games, I mean, that's a real testament to them as a team. I mean, 3-1 would be very, you know, would be very, yeah, very good with those, especially those road games.
Like that. Yeah.
But speaking of Miami, real weird win. San Diego's a good team. I still think San Diego's a good team. And, I mean, Miami just, I mean, made them look like JV. I mean, it was just like both sides of the ball. They just, Miami just could, you know, Tannehill looked like Joe Montana out there. And then that Miami defense played like the 85 Bears. I mean, do you think that, Andy, you think that was just one of those games? Or do you think it's, for San Diego, I think, I mean, this is just my own personal feeling. I think it was just one of those games for San Diego. Things snowballed, and it is what it is, and, you know, they'll be back strong. But I think it was a real statement game for Miami. I think that they're, you know, they've made a lot of moves over the last couple of years, spent a lot of money. Tannehill is really, I think he's maturing. And then, I mean, I think he's a pretty underrated quarterback. That pass rush is vicious that they have. Yeah. I think they're real contenders. At least for, I mean, I think they have a very, very good chance at a wild card at the very least.
Yeah, it seems hard to believe that it wasn't that long ago they were making noise about Tannehill possibly not being the starter. And now he's, you know, probably, I'd say this is probably the best stretch of his career so far. I mean, he's pretty young, but I think that game was probably just kind of the worst possible matchup for San Diego. They just do not have the offensive line to handle Miami's defense, and they just couldn't get anything done. And like you said, it did snowball a bit. They had that fourth down they couldn't convert early on, and maybe things turn out a little bit differently if they get that. I don't know, but I don't think it means that San Diego is as bad as they looked on Sunday, and I think they still have at least a shot. They're at least a contender for a wild card spot, I should say. But yeah, I'm Miami at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you can throw the division. I mean, we were talking about San Diego possibly winning that division. I think you can throw that out the window.
Yeah, that's probably, that ship has sailed, I guess.
So looking at the Dolphins this week, great game. Great game going to Detroit, 5-3 Dolphins at the 6-2 Lions. Like we alluded to earlier, Calvin Johnson coming back for the Lions at full strength, which is a huge, huge difference maker.
Sure.
If Miami can pull this win off, I think it's, I mean, it's more impressive than what they did last week, even if they win the game by 1 point. I like Detroit in this game with Calvin back and with that pass rush. Keith, where do you fall on this one?
I completely agree with you. I think Detroit's going to put up some really eye-popping offensive numbers compared to what they have been. Miami's got to go to Detroit. Yeah, I see Detroit taking this. That game last week, it looked to me like a San Diego roster spent Saturday night at South Beach. And they were they weren't ready to play. I don't think they were ready to play. Plus the cross country flight. But San Diego is better than what they showed last week. You're right, they're not gonna win the division, but they got a good shot making the playoffs, so excuse me. Miami, they're gonna have their hands full. I mean, if they win this game in Detroit, that'll be very, very impressive. Because Detroit's, you know, they're what, 6-2 now?
Six, yes.
And like you said, you got Calvin Johnson coming back. I mean, that offense is going to take off. And Reggie Bush, he's coming back as well. So off a bye, you know, maybe he gets a little healthy. Yeah, I think they're going to be too much for Miami to handle.
I agree with that, Keith. I think I like Detroit. Senior, where are you going on this one?
I think the matchup kind of favors Detroit. I mean, I'm impressed with Miami, with what Miami's done. What Miami's done is, we talked about their pass rush. That's the key to their defense. They have a really good defense. I mean, they're second overall in the league against the pass, and they're not that easy to run against either. I mean, the reason they're so good against the pass is, to me, the most valuable thing you can have with the way the game is constituted right now, the way it's officiated and everything else, you got to have a pass rush, and they have as good as it gets. They really get after people. So they have a really good defense. And they support that defense by running the ball. They're the fourth leading rushing offense in the NFL. They're running for 137 yards a game. You run the ball, you control the clock, you have a good defense. It's a formula for winning. Tannehill makes a few key throws, play action here and there. It all works. The surprising thing about the Dolphins, I thought they'd have a good defense. I thought they'd have a pass rush.
the surprising thing is that this offensive line has come together and they've been able to run the ball. I mean, this is an offensive line that was just rebuilt from scratch with the mess that they had with the incognito Jonathan Martin thing last year and everything else. They kind of just put the offensive line back together, and these guys have become cohesive quickly, and they're playing really well. But is it a good enough offensive line to run the ball, which is their calling card on offense, against this Detroit front seven in Detroit? I don't think so. I think that'll be the problem. I see a low-scoring game, and I would see Detroit winning this game in a low-scoring game at home. I know we're saying their offense is going to be more dynamic with Calvin and everything else, but not easy to throw the ball on Miami because they're going to be in Matt Stafford's face. So I don't see them scoring a lot of points in this particular game. But I would see Detroit winning in a close, low-scoring game. And in all honesty, if the game was in Miami, I'd probably be picking the Dolphins. I'd say Detroit by about 3 points because of the home field. But I do like the way Miami's been playing. Run the ball, play good, solid defense. You're going to be a good football team. Stay away from turnovers. They're doing all those things. They're a solid team. But, again, going into Detroit to trying to run the ball is an awful tall order. So Detroit in a low-scoring game, that's what I see. It's a good physical game. If you like that kind of football, it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Andy.
We're looking for predictions here?
or just, you know, what you had for dinner, whatever.
Well, just speaking of Detroit, I wanted to mention my boy Nick Fairley, who was having such a great season, and now it looks like he's going to miss a couple weeks. And that's really disappointing for a defense that I think they were probably one of the better defenses in the league, at least this year, you know, by the numbers at least. And if they can, I mean, you can't really replace someone like that very easily, but if they can, you know, kind of patch the holes up and keep that defense at a high level, then I think they should win this game. It'll be interesting because these are two teams that have some aspirations for the playoffs, so this will be a big, we'll know a lot more about them after this week.
Yeah. Big game for both teams. Real big game for both teams. For Miami, I mean, they still think they can win the division, especially with the tough schedule coming up for the Patriots. And to do that, they got to win this game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think it's going to be a fun one. I don't think it's going to be as low scoring as senior does. I think both teams are going to be able to do some work offensively.
I agree.
And Mike Wallace is pretty kind of quietly having a real good year for Miami. He's making that investment not look so ridiculous as it did last year. And Lamar Miller is banged up, which hurts them because they have the immortal Daniel Thomas backing him up. It's the ultimate 3 yards in a cloud of dust. He's like Richardson-esque in that way. So we'll see what happens there. A number of good games this week. Another game that you maybe didn't think coming into the year would be like a big one for a playoff position, but you have the 5-3 Chiefs going to 5-3 Buffalo. The Chiefs started off the season a little shaky, but they've really put it together. That, for my money, the best. I think they have the best running game in the NFL. Even including Dallas, with that two-headed monster, both guys real versatile. They're playing very well, and I think that they're legitimate contenders. Buffalo, I think, are pretenders. I think they're a joke. 5-3. I think Kyle Orton's awful. But I do. I have trouble. I think he's better than EJ Manuel, and he's, he's certainly done the number. It's like they told him, we traded a lot for Sammy Watkins, so you just have to throw to him every single time because he gets about 20 targets a game now with Kyle Orton. But
that's a beautiful thing.
I see the Chiefs going in there and kind of laying the wood to the Bills. I think it's. I think it's a 10-point game, more than 10-point game. I don't see the Bills really. The Bills do this, right? 5-3. Would it really surprise you if they went 6-10, Andy?
No. don't know. Sadly.
And so, you know, they're my downward spiral team in the AFC, Buffalo. What do you think, Senior?
Well, you know, we'll see. You know, the Bills right now have won 3 out of their last 4, the only loss being to the Patriots. They're coming off bye week. Problem is, it looks like they could be going into this game a little dinged up. I think Fred Jackson might be back, maybe, but he'll be playing.
He's probably not playing.
So they'll be going, and they obviously know they don't have Spiller, and Watkins hurt his groin in practice Wednesday and hasn't practiced since. And they're not even sure if he's going to play. So their offense could be hurting a little bit in this game, but I think they're a legitimate defensive team. I like the Bills' defense. I mean, they've shored up their issue of being able to stop the run. They've become a very good team against the run. I know this is a challenge for their defense stopping the Chiefs' run. But they are at home. Who knows what the weather's going to be like up there in Buffalo. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I think this is a good matchup. I'm not as down on the Bills as you are. I think they are dinged up right now offensively. But I think their defense is good enough to keep them in games. And so far, they have been able to run the ball even with the other running backs, with Bryce Brown and Booby Dixon.
Booby!
Yeah, I mean, it's not great running backs, but if the line's moving teams, you can run the ball with Booby Dixon and running between tackles. And Bryce Brown is kind of a minor league, under and lightning kind of thing, you know. And as much as Orton's not great, he has thrown the ball much more effectively than Manuel did, but again, if he's without Watkins, or if he's with a 70% Watkins, that's their best weapon. So I think that's the challenge in this game. They might have trouble scoring points. So I'll say it's like the game we just talked about before. I see it as a low scoring physical game, and I still think it can kind of go either way. But I'd have to give the Chiefs a slight edge because they're healthier. That could be a problem with the Bills. You know, it's the wrong guys that are dinged up. It's really their playmakers. You know, Spiller is a big time playmaker. And, I mean, he's done. And Watkins really has looked like the real thing. And if he's dinged up, you know, where the heck does Orton go with the ball? You know, what do they hang that offense on? But I still see them staying in the game because their defense is good enough to keep them in the game. And the Chiefs have this big, high-powered offense. They pound the ball. They run it well. You know, they had the game against the Pats where they scored all the points. But you're not gonna run the ball down Buffalo's throat that easily. Buffalo's pretty staunch against the run. So I'll say the Chiefs in a low-scoring game simply because they're healthier. But I'm not as down on the Bills as you are. I don't think they're headed for some big downward spiral. I think they're gonna be like a 9-7, 10-6 kind of team.
All right.
Yeah, I see Buffalo pulling this one out at home. I think this is a pretty even matchup with KC being on the road. If it was in Kansas City, I would agree you get your 10-point blowout. But in Buffalo, I don't think Kansas City's as good on the road as they are at home. And I think Buffalo pulls it out. Now, like you said, Senior, Sammy Watkins, he yanked his groin in Wednesday's practice. If he's not playing or is, like you said, you know, just on the field as a decoy, they might have problems scoring because their running game is in shambles. But if Watkins is out there, him and Robert Woods, they'll put up, you know, 21 points. 21-17 Buffalo, that kind of game.
Wow, it surprises me, Keith, given what Kansas City did to the, you know, that high-powered Jets squad last week, that you would pick against him
this
week.
Hey, at Kansas City.
Yeah, the week before, Buffalo hung 43 on the Jets in New York.
Wow. I mean, so this is probably the two best teams in football then.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's more an indictment on Pittsburgh than it is faith in the Jets. I just think that 1-8, they're better than a 3-13 team. They're going to win some games. I think this is one of them. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so let's take a little U-turn, not U-turn, but going a different direction.
We just did a U-turn.
True. And Keith, I appreciate the yanked groin comment. That's that plays big here in the lounge.
Well, he did. You know, he was yanking.
All right. So, have a little panel discussion here around who do you think the next coach is to go? Start with Andy.
Ooh.
Maybe not who do you think it's going to be, but who should it be?
Who should it be?
Who should be the next coach to go?
But that's a good one.
That's an interesting question.
I'm blanking on his name. What's the Atlanta coach's name?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith. See, I thought that was it, and I thought I was wrong. I should have just gone off like that. But yeah, I just for his performance in the Detroit game alone, what he just somehow, you know, he had like a 99% chance of winning that game and to somehow blow it. And, you know, he has not been a great end game kind of manager over the last couple of years. And there have been previous times when he could have been fired. I think they could really use a new situation there. I think, yeah, he would be my choice.
I think he should go as well, Andy. That team's got too much talent to be where they are, even with the injuries. And he was on Hard Knocks, and he, you know, it's, I mean, like, I, you know, he's just, I don't see much in the guy, you know.
I don't see any positives in keeping him, let's put it that way.
Right, I mean, I think
whether you hate the decision like I do or not, he's just, he hasn't done a whole lot to say that he's a valuable asset as a coach.
Right. When he's at his best, he's very middle of the road.
Yeah. Right. Low ceiling kind of guy, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Mike Smith, see you later. Absolutely. Senior.
Okay, I mean, you got to float another name out there, right? So I'll say Mark Trestman. Mm-hmm. The Bears have been a huge disappointment. I think the one reason he was brought in there was to, you know, bring out the talent of Jay Cutler and turn this talented guy with all the tools into a real quarterback. And really, if anything, Cutler hasn't progressed at all. He might even be regressing. I mean, the team that's, you know, was supposed to be somewhat of a contender in that division is an absolute joke. So I wouldn't be surprised if Trestman goes, and I wouldn't argue with it if he does. Maybe he's just not an NFL coach. You know, maybe he's one of those guys that's meant to be an assistant or meant to coach in the CFL or where he was, and then back up to Canada, you know, a little north of Chicago. He was successful over there. But, yeah, I think Preston could be on the way out.
Oh, you've turned on him.
He made Josh McCown a lot of money last year.
Well, I bought the whole thing. He was gonna be a fit and bought into that he was going to straighten Cutler out. And what I'm seeing from Cutler is, and maybe it's not Trustman's fault, maybe that's just Cutler. I talked about Kaepernick being a guy with physical tools that's a complete blockhead. And, I mean, Cutler may be the same guy, you know. All the physical tools, the best arm in the NFL, really. I mean, he makes such impressive throws, but just does so many stupid things, you know, and he just can't grow out of it.
I think we've heard that before. I'm not sure where. I don't think Trestman should go. I think it's Cutler.
It's just his second year, right?
It is. It's just his second year. And their offense isn't that bad. I mean, it's a... You know, numbers-wise, their offense is good. The defense sucks. I mean, the defense sucks terribly. They're probably going to get waxed this week in Green Bay. But, I mean, given how long they let Lovie Smith coach, I mean, I can't imagine they're gonna dump Trestman after 2 years. I mean, I think he deserves... They're in a tough situation because they...
What the hell has he done to deserve it?
I mean, he's an offensive mind, and the offense has been good. I think
not as good as it should be.
Right. I mean, do you blame him for that, or do you blame the front office for paying, you know, for locking in a guy, paying him like a top five quarterback who just isn't that guy? Is that Tressman's fault?
No, but that's what he was brought in there for. You know, because they've got all this money invested in Cutler, that the whole idea of Tressman was to find the coach that could get him going. That's probably the idea. It's not working. He doesn't have Cutler playing any better.
No. He's got like an arena league style offense. I mean, you have to adapt. You have to change your game plan up. Last year, they caught people off guard. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, good receiver. He's a high. Last year, he blossomed. You know, teams were paying so much attention to Brandon Marshall. Jeffrey tore it up, and they caught people off guard, and he got his mantra as a great offensive coach. But, I mean, that gets old. That team, with the talent they have, they should put up 30 points every single game, win or lose. Kind of like Denver or Indy. You know, if you're going to beat us, you're going to outscore us. They should be putting up 30 points with the weapons they have.
I mean, do you really think John Fox would get that out of Jay Cutler?
I don't know, but what I'm saying is that we can discuss it all we want, but that was the reason. That was Tressman's strength. That's what he would be brought in there for. I agree with what you said, Roger. The defense completely stinks. It's terrible. But you got all these weapons on offense, and you've got Jay Cutler, and you were brought in to get Jay Cutler together. And it's your second year now, not your first. And these are their point totals for this year. I'm going to read them off to you. And this is in today's NFL, when you're supposed to be a high-powered offense, and your quarterback's supposed to be directing it. 20, 20, 19, 17, 24, 13, 14, 23. So the defense may stink, but that's not good offensive numbers either. Even with a good defense, you're losing most games with those totals. He was brought in to straighten Cutler out in a year and a half. He hasn't done it. I don't know how much longer a leash you give him. Maybe now you bring in a coach that can straighten the defense out a little bit. I don't know, but I don't trust is doing that any good over there.
All right.
Keith. Thank you for making my point.
Keith, who's on the chopping block for you?
I think I agree with both of those. I don't think, let's see, the one who's going to get axed is going to be Harbaugh. I think he's the first one to go.
I think he should be the first. I mean, outside of Mike Smith, because it's a complete joke that he's still coaching that team. But I think Harbaugh should be the first one to go.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think Smith would be my number one. You go to the NFC Championship game, and then you know you have the disaster of a season they had last year. I know they were injured, but. And then you follow it up again with another disappointing season. Something's got to change there. They got too much talent. So that would be my number one. But I think the first one that will actually go will be Harbaugh.
So Harbaugh, here's what I think about Harbaugh. Great coach in the NBA in college, guy named Larry Brown. He's great for 2 years. Then the act wears thin, the players revolt, and he needs to go to another situation. Mm. And I think Harbaugh's the same guy. I think as a individual, I think the guy's just an asshole. And I would say it to him. I mean, I think he's one of these hyper, you know, in your face, you know, great to get the team, you know, to take a team from mediocrity or from the bottom, fix them and get them, you know, because his track record is great. But I think the axe worn thin, the players aren't playing for him. They, you know, he's got that act where they're just not listening to him anymore. And I think Harbaugh, like I said earlier, Harbaugh to the Jets, I think he turns them around. It's good for a couple of years and then it's time to move on somewhere else. And I think the Larry, I mean, what do you guys, for the basketball aficionados amongst us, do you think the Larry Brown comparison makes some sense?
No, I think that's just about a perfect comparison, yeah. Right down to the you know, kind of a strong personality would be the nice way to say it, who rubs people the wrong way and kind of burns his bridges as he on his way out of town. That sounds like Harbaugh to me. Yeah,
type A. It's about him. And yeah, I think so. So if I were San Francisco, I might fire him right now. Where there's smoke, there's fire, Keith. And all the stuff you hear is that the locker room has turned on him. And once that happens, it's over. It's over.
That's how one of those things where you win a couple games and then it goes the other way. You know what I mean? Isn't that just kind of a story that comes up when the team's losing?
I think in some cases. I mean, but they weren't losing when those stories broke.
That's true. There's a reason that trade rumor came about, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's just me. And then I'm throwing another name out there. Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
I'm not being a jerk, Andy. Before the first Super Bowl they won, he barely survived.
Yeah, it's an annual tradition that the team quits on Coughlin and he's on the hot seat. Yeah, I know.
But I know it's a couple years now. Head coaches his age don't have a great track record.
It's true.
He's also one of these strict disciplinarian type of guys. He's cooled it off a little bit.
That's the thing. He mellows as he gets older, right? There's a part of me that kind of just wants him to retire as a Giant. And, you know, that's just me being sentimental. I don't know if that means he actually should be the coach for the next 3 years or anything like that. But, yeah, you can't really stand by his results this year. So,
no, I think it's time to put him out to pasture. You know, I mean, you can do it in a classy way. He's won a couple Super Bowls. You know, I mean, talk to him. He can resign due to age, but really he's getting canned. You know, I mean, but I think it's time to inject some new blood in New York. Because for all the stuff Senior says, I think Eli Manning's still a quarterback that can get you there. They have some real good young talent. You know, I think the team that's not coached well is a team that is, you know, sometimes real up and down or has these games where they just completely don't show up. I mean, the Giants are notorious. I mean, when they're playing well, they look as good as anybody, but they just do not show up sometimes. And, you know, if you're having a good week of practice, if you're really prepared for the game, how does that happen?
I think my only argument would be that they have kind of like an uneven talent on that roster, and they've had some injury problems, and I don't know that I'd blame the coaching first. That's that. What's that?
I said I wouldn't either.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's time to fire Coughlin yet. Every 4 years, he wins a Super Bowl, right? So he hasn't hit the fourth year yet. So you got to wait till, if he tanks again in 2015, all right, that's the fourth year. All right, now we're keeping an eye on you. But he's got a track record. He didn't forget how to coach. I think it's all the offensive line, to be honest with you. The defense, I mean, even when they won the Super Bowls, they weren't one of them 13-3 teams that kicked your ass every week. You know, they did it with kind of smoke and mirrors. They show up 1 week, they don't show up the following week. It'll keep going. You never know. I mean, they were a wild card team when they won the Super Bowl twice. So we'll see.
How about Marvin Lewis? Turn it around.
With the talent he has,
second longest tenured coach in the NFL, right? Yeah. To Belichick, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of can't get over the hump. Looks like they're probably not going to be able to get over the hump this year. I mean, I think he needs to win a play. Right? I think he needs to win a playoff game this year to keep his job.
Yeah,
it seems like definitely. A low bar.
If they don't go to the playoffs, he'll definitely be out.
Yeah,
but he's definitely got the rest of this year. the guy that nobody's mentioning, you know, I'm not saying he's the guy that should go because I think he's a good coach, but it's very possible that Rex is
gone.
Oh, yeah.
He could legitimately be the first one out. And again, I'm not saying it's because he's a bad coach. I'm just saying it's just the climate in New York right now and the fact that the team's so horrible. Like, if I had to lay out on who the first one that was really going to go, I would say Rex.
I think they'll let him finish out the season, but he's gone. And
He's going too. I'm going to tell you where he's going to, Oakland.
I don't think he would take that job.
Ooh, I would.
What about Atlanta? About Atlanta, Keith? I think that's a real, real good fit for him. An offense.
Well, yeah. Both those teams right there. One of those two.
Oakland's a... I mean, who the hell would really want to coach that team?
Dude, they have a quarterback now. Derek Carr, he looks pretty good.
He does.
He's making rookie mistakes, but if you remember Peyton's first year, he did the same thing.
That's the Hail Mary job, though. Like, I think Harbaugh would be a better fit in Oakland, in my opinion. Like, he's the kind of guy with the ego to think that he can turn it around. Do you agree with that, Andy?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And he's kind of the kind of guy who really, like, turns a roster over, kind of, like, finds out what works and what doesn't, gets rid of the guys who aren't going to work in his system.
And given his personality, I'm sure he'd love to stick it to the Niners by making the Rex in Atlanta, I think, makes all the sense in the world. Their defense has really held them back. And, I mean, he can fix the defense. Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to JR about this. And that offense, I mean, I think that's his problem for the Jets. I mean, he's just really not an offensive mind. So going to a place that already has a good offense would be good for him.
I mentioned Oakland, because I think he's got a young quarterback there. Their offense isn't the problem, Oakland. It's their defense. Their defense has been pretty terrible.
So
Keith, situation with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's offense is obviously, Matt Ryan's already established. He's got great weapons. I mean, yeah, that would be a great job for him too. But I don't think he'll go without a job though. If he gets fired, he'll be coaching another.
He probably should
year.
Get a job right away. He's
earned. Oh, absolutely. He took the Jets to two AFC championship games. With Mark Sanchez at the helm.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, he's a great defensive mind. There's no question in that. So, yeah, you're right. You know, a team, like I said, Atlanta, Oakland, one of them teams that can already score. You know, I think if he went to Oakland, though, he'd last longer.
Keith, I got Oakland scored the least points in the NFL this year by a decent margin.
Yeah, well,
so they've scored 129 points in 8 games. Jacksonville's got 141 in 9. So if Oakland can score 14 on Denver, they'll be, you know, ahead of that pace. Tennessee's got 137 in 8. The Jets' shitty offense has 154 in 9. So, I mean,
like I said, Carr's been making his mistakes, and they're happening, you know, down in the red zone. But
I like Derek Carr. I think he's going to be good.
Derek Carr is a gunslinger, man.
I think they need to have patience with him. Let him develop. I think he does have the goods. But yeah, I mean, that's a real rebuilding project. Do you think Rex takes a coordinator job over? I think he might.
I don't know.
This is something I've thought of. And
no. Look,
do you think
you
he
don't
takes
go
the
from
Patriots
head coach
defense?
To coordinator?
Well, when you get fired, you do sometimes.
Like if I'm Rex,
no. What I'm saying is, if he can get a head coaching job,
yes,
he's going to take that over a coordinator job. So he's not at the, you know, like Gary Kubiak, he ended up the coordinator in Baltimore. That's because nobody was knocking on his door saying, hey, will you be our head coach?
That's a
you know what I'm saying? Rex will have calls. Rex will have calls, but, you know, 5 different teams will call him. There's 5 teams in the league with worse head coaches than Rex Ryan.
I'm going to float a prediction out there. This is out of left field.
Okay.
Rex Ryan... takes the Patriots defensive coordinator job with the with the understanding that he's going to be the head coach. Belichick doesn't have that much time left.
Don't they hate each other? Have I been making that
no
up?
No chance. That would never happen.
I don't think it's hate. I think it's a mutual respect.
Yeah.
I do.
Absolutely.
I do.
And, I don't think it's hate either, but no way. No way.
Yeah.
I think Rex would conform to Bill Belichick's, no, you don't talk to the media? You don't say anything to them? No chance.
I mean, Rex is really toned down
Bill
the media stuff.
No, no way. No way.
We'll see.
I think Dr. McDaniel's already been promised that he's going to follow Belichick as head coach. I think that's why he's still in New England. And I think the Patriots like Matt Patricia. I think Belichick is very comfortable with him. So, if that comes true, we're going to call you a swami, but that's an out there.
It's out of left field.
Hey, I would love for it to happen because he's with the defense they have right now, the corners they have right now, the defenses he could come up with.
We'll see what happens. I think Rex takes that job over Oakland's head coaching job.
No way.
Be crazy
well,
to prefer that
which
job,
one's going to pay more? Which one's going to pay more? Don't forget, at the end of the day, this is a job, so. I mean, he's going to get paid a hell of a lot more.
But after what you've gone through with the Jets, you go take another job where you're going to go 1-15 or 2-14, you could end your coaching career too, you know?
But see, I think the Jets obviously have a much better D, but I think Oakland's set up better for the long run than the Jets are. The Jets have, you know, they're at the salary cap playing players. You know, too much money? No way. Oakland's in a good situation. I think they're going to take off. Well, we'll see. They get a quarterback.
That's
half the battle right there. Okay, we'll see. I think Carr's going to develop into a good quarterback.
I agree with that.
You know, he's showing spurts. You know, real nice drives, and then you know, ill-advised.
They played good against Seattle last week. They played a lot better than anyone thought they were going to against Seattle last week. But
Patriots pretty close too. Right?
Yeah, right. That was the bad Patriots.
Yeah, it's true. Fair enough.
True, but you know what though? I mean, a couple of them field goals or touchdowns, and they blow the Patriots out.
Absolutely, but I'm telling you, and I have no inside information. None. Just to make that clear, my sources that I don't really have didn't tell me anything. But I can see it. I mean, maybe it's a history of the way that the Patriots acquired Belichick from the Jets, and the Jets just have that tortured history where, like, the worst possible thing for them would be for that to happen.
Yeah, from that angle, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Like, I mean, honestly, that's the only argument I can make for why I think, you know, Sanchez might lead Philadelphia to 14-2 in the Super Bowl victory.
Right, just to torture Jets fans, right.
And I mean, it's the kind of stuff that happens to them, so we'll see. And I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. But all right, guys, great show this week. I've really enjoyed the banter. We've had some real heated discussion. We got an F-bomb out of Andy, which doesn't happen all the time. And we had some silent F-bombs from Andy during the Gronkowski discussion.
MVP.
We'll be back next week for sure. Again, John Rook's going to be on for a special about an hour edition of The Lounge. And then hopefully, if my compadres here can work it into their schedule, we'll do the standard 2-hour as well. Go vote on the 90s songs. It's really fun to vote, and you know, the first round, PM Dawn came in last place, which is still just, it's killing me. It is absolutely killing me that Place to Be Nation has such poor taste in music, but we'll see. And then in the second round, Rusted Root, Send Me on My Way, I thought was a shoo-in. I think that's in last place. Maybe I just have bad taste. What do you think, Andy? Is it everybody else or is it me?
You know what they say?
I do.
Set Adrift of Memory.
Yeah, that one's coming up next, Keith. I'm sure it'll finish last as well. This was I'd die without you, but yeah, it's made for a lot of good arguing. You know, a refusal to remove one of the 47 Hootie and the Blowfish songs.
Oh man.
Yeah, so Hootie stays. That's what I was told. Hootie stays or you go. Senior took me to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert back when I was in high school. You remember that, Senior?
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yep, it was. It was very good. So, not a lot of country representation on there, Senior. I'm sorry.
I can tell you what the number one country song in the 90s was. It would kind of be a... would kind of fit our show a little bit. It was a song by
Monday Night Football.
Should have been a cowboy.
Anything with cowboy in the name of it gets my vote.
There you go. Should have been a cowboy. So, it's a 90s song.
That one's not on there, I don't think, Senior, but I would vote for it. So
when did the Monday Night Football song come out? Hank Williams, yeah. I don't know.
That's been around a long time.
Since the 90s, though? I don't know.
Are you ready for some
football? I'm thinking of the Open now, and I'm not sure where he fits in that. I think that might have been early 2000s.
Andy, you're good at this stuff.
I'm just guessing 80s. I don't actually know when they started using that song.
80s? Wow. No, they had Wayne's World on there. The 90s. Remember, the Opens used to be all different. If you watch the Open to the Monday Night Football now, they go through the decades. So I think
was
Hank Williams was after Wayne's World.
When was it released, Andy?
1981.
So,
but I don't know when they started using it on the show.
Are You Ready for Some Football was released in 1981?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm wondering.
Alright, this is just
gotta find this out for next week now. This is killing me.
Alright. Well, we got this thing called the internet. we'll all have a little homework assignment. And again, everybody, thanks for tuning in this week. Cowboy Senior at Bogle Hill Twitter. A lot of good stuff on there.
Sunday morning tweets always go out.
Yeah, and if you guys would comment on him, then I wouldn't get the text from Senior saying, check out my tweets, which I get every Sunday. So, we have this thing called a news feed, and it comes in our Twitter feed. So, for Senior...
1989, that's when it started.
When they started using it in 1991.
I had to find out.
So Andy's really good at this stuff. I'm going with Andy. I've done trivia with Andy, and as long as it's not geography, he's not half bad. So, all right, this is it for Andy, the Senior, for Keith, the Cowboy. Thanks for tuning in, Cowboy.
That's right, girl. Let me whisper in your ear. Baby, wake up. We're naked. And we're having sex. For the last 15 minutes, baby. That's what's been happening. Yeah. Too late now. It's on.